Chapter 18. Eternity. I spent the first hour crying loudly in the depths of the cavern. I was at a complete loss as to what to do next. I spent the hour after that in silence, after which I climbed back above ground. I had been listening for Saul's footsteps, but I figured I must have thrown him off my trail successfully. I pulled out Josie's beads to make sure they were fully white. I figured the burning sensation I felt the day before from the sun would be deadly to me now. The sight of the white beads brought more tears to my blackened eyes. Even though my heart had no beat, it remained crushed for my loss. Somehow, the death of Vitala and her children didn't bring any solace to my pain. As much as I wanted to die to end the pain in my heart, I feared death more than ever now. Where did I fall in God's judgment plans? I doubted vampires were in good standing with the big guy. Maybe people in down-and-out situations like mine choose to forget about God and pretend he doesn't exist. I sure had a reason to. But I refused to. If I were to ignore God or shake my fist at him, it doesn't make him cease to exist. Maybe I received grace for my actions. I hadn't killed a human yet. I had just come close. Maybe I could control my new nature. As much as my current state wasn't my fault, it still was. The whole thing could have been avoided, but no, I had to go camping. It was all my idea, and I had to take them all to the wrong clearing. That fact would always haunt me. I knew that while Victoria would take Seth home to be treated for his injury, Saul would be persistent in his hunt of me. He never seemed to like me, and that couldn't be any more true now. He had seen me kill his rangers with a branch of the tree, and it wouldn't be long before he put two together as cause and effect. I couldn't allow him to find the tree. He couldn't have its pine wood that could end my life. I wasn't ready for that. I looked around for the chainsaw I left in that area, and I poured out the leftover gasoline on the fallen pine tree. Then I pulled out my flint from my supply pack and set fire to the tree. The smoke rose high out of the forest, and I realized it was a marker for Saul if he was still looking for me. I thought about running, but I didn't want the forest to catch fire. I guess there was still good in me after all. The fire provided faint warmth for my freezing skin. I was a cold-blooded animal now. As I watched the fire consume the tree, I had a feeling of invulnerability overcome me as the last pine bark crumbled in the heat. The only wood in the whole world that could end my life now was a pile of ash. I stomped out the flames and immediately had another strong feeling overwhelm me. I was now an eternal creature. Barring an act of God himself, I would wander this earth with a broken heart forever. I heard the crunching of twigs and leaves a few feet away. My heightened senses could smell pancake batter on the shirt cuffs of Saul. He had seen my unintentional smoke signals and followed them. I could see him now limping towards me. He had his right hand wrapped up and was holding it tight to his side. His gun was in its holster rather than his left hand and appeared unthreatening. I had some untold wrath inside me towards him. I could process that it was all unjustified, but I could hardly control it. "I've been looking for you, hero," he said, followed by his closed-mouthed smile. "Have you? You saved us from all the vampires, and then you just ran off," he baited. "You know there's more to it than that. You lost your love, you got a broken heart, you lost your cool." He recited my evening for me plainly like I hadn't broke his hand and attacked my friends. "You shot me because I lost my cool?" I asked, trying to remain as calm and as human as possible. This was something Saul made almost impossible for me to do. "Oh, that's right. I did shoot you, dang," he said, rubbing his head and laughing to himself. "I guess I won't be fooling the vampire tonight." His words sent a chill up my spine. It was so hard to fathom that I was the vampire in that sentence. "No, you won't," I said carefully, trying to read him the best I could, but he was so hard to figure out. "You were the hero in the genuine sense. I reckon you saved my life. I don't want you to forget that when I'm all killing you, okay?" His face was stern and his eyes squinted a little.
"You can't kill me,"
I proclaimed in almost a demonic voice.
"I believe that's what she said, and you killed her. I'm not a tree."
But you're not a man. He was right. I'd become the very monster I wished to rid the earth of. I'd become a threat to mankind. All the more, I wished to throw myself on the Vitala Pinewood stake and end it all. But it had been burned. Since I had become the enemy, he had the right to be the hero now. He had to hunt me down until justice was served. I haven't killed anyone, I yelled partly to Saul and partly to myself. I looked around the ground for the bodies of Jason and Ava. They still lay there looking very much human, and like I had killed them that way. For a moment, I thought this whole tale was a myth in my mind as I tried to make sense of being a serial killer. No, they had been vampires. I had done right. And that's why we're talking all civilized rather than trading blows, Saul responded, leaning himself against a pine trunk. Fair warning, if you ever go all toothy on a human being for any reason, I'll be there to end you. Is that a fact? My new nature did not like threats at all. That's a fact, all right, he replied as he pushed himself off the tree he was leaning against and crouched down on the ground next to the still smoking ashes of Vitala's tree. He scooped up some ashes in his left hand and placed the pile in his coat pocket near his heart and winked at me. I'll report the deaths in the forest and make sure they all get a decent burial. All but your girl have teeth marks on their necks, which we can write off as animal attacks. The holes in their hearts, however, well, that's completely different. Maybe they'll appear post-mortem to the coroner. By the way, and I mean this sincerely, I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you, I answered in a tone that almost sounded human again. The warden nodded, and then my voice turned slightly sinister again. I'll be good. That's your only choice, Saul reminded me as he turned and limped away. The good and righteous ranger was now my mortal enemy. What a twist of fate. Since that evening, I've fallen into bouts of depression and have tried to kill myself with other means, such as sunlight, fire, and firearms. When I stayed out in the sunlight, my skin burned at first, like a rapidly increasing sunburn, but eventually burned my skin like a fire till I fell to the ground in a melting, smoking pile of flesh. And then the sun went down, and I found myself skinless and in unspeakable pain, but over the span of a week, in hiding, all my skin grew back just as it was before. Fire had a similar effect. I was able to regenerate my skin over time. It hurt tremendously, but it didn't kill me. I tried multiple times to shoot myself, but I healed from all those injuries almost immediately. I jumped off a high cliff into a ravine and broke my neck, but I was able to snap it back into place. I am stronger, faster, and more powerful than I've ever been. But I feel like I'm living with two people inside my head. One that wants to eat people, and the other that just wants to talk. I'm so lonely out here in the dark. I discovered quickly that I was always cold, the only exception being when I drank warm animal's blood, or when I was in a really warm climate. The desert valley would provide warmth and a lower desire to feed, but you could never come out in the day. The places with the cooler temperatures provide overcast days that I could roam around in the daylight, but the desire to feed was higher because of the desire to feel warm. It was a brutal catch-22. I chose the latter. I wasn't ready to become a creature of the night alone. The lack of overcast days in the valley made it easy not to go home. Plus, I had no reason to return to school or my life at all. For all extensive purposes, I was dead. I read in the paper my obituary and about where I was buried. I don't know how you bury without a body. I guess they just bury your memory. I wondered how my mother would fare without me. And sometimes I thought about my dad. I'd never thought much about him before. I saw Josie's funeral in person as her parents chose to hold it up north where she died. I stayed quiet in the dark shadows. I wept when they put her in the ground, and I fought the inner monster telling me to rage on all the people. They said many good things about her, but nobody talked about her eyes. I really loved her eyes. She was right. I can almost smell her on my leather jacket. I can smell her on the bracelet that I now wear. That's all that's left of her. The funeral's the last time I saw Seth and Victoria. He had his arm in a sling, but they were holding hands. Their survival had brought them together. It took everything in me not to rip them apart. Some months passed, and I moved away from the forest into a small mountain town. I found a vacant house, and I've made residence there. 1588 Blackbird Lane. I think Saul knows where I am. I see him drive by sometimes at night. I'm doing really well fighting off the wrath inside me and living off of animals' blood and bottled water instead. But if I ever slip up, I know the warden will be right there. Now that'll be the day. Eternity takes a long time to unfold, but I'm prepared to see it through. So, wherever you are, may it be in the mountains or down on the beach on a cloudy day, whether you're hiking with friends or just playing games in your home, please know that I'm lurking. I'm always watching. I'm always passing by. I look almost normal, and I can almost promise I won't bite. Thank you.